And no negative can ever happen. Without his knowledge, without his plan, without his special care, because he always wants you to win. Now, you cannot control that because you wouldn't know what was good for you. Have you learned that yet? Have you learned that you don't know what's good for you? That if you control things in order to manipulate things for your good, it won't turn out that way. And we, you know, we try to get into control and especially avoid bad things, but you don't know what's bad. And we try to accumulate good things, but you don't know what's good. You don't know, you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because you don't know which is good and which is bad. For example, when Jesus came into town on Palm Sunday, everybody liked him. All of a sudden, I mean, the whole world was after him. I mean, he had spent 3 years ministering, and now the time had come for him to be killed, but nobody knew that. They thought he was coming into town to be a king. Have you ever been expecting something and then something else came? You expected one thing and then something else. And so Jesus, who died, who was crucified, you know, which we just sang, Jesus knew exactly why he was coming to town. He knew he was coming to be their king who would surprise them. Sometimes the king, when he comes to town, he surprises everybody. And the way he surprised them was to give them something better than what they thought was good. A king is a doer. A king is not a thinker. He's not someone who's thinking of anything. He's always planning and purposing, not for himself, but to do good to his people. Now, that, of course, would be a good king, but in the eyes of God, there is only a good king. There is no such thing as a bad king. Well, there is, but then you're not a king, you're a tyrant. So, by definition, a king can do no wrong. Or, to put it in our language, by definition, if a king did wrong, he would cease to be a king and he'd be a tyrant. Or if he was inept, he'd be an anarchist. So a king, by definition, according to the way God set up the office of king, not the person who is the king, but the office of king, is always for the good of the people. No king has ever reigned or could ever reign except in the name of the people. In other words, for their benefit. So what kind of king are you? Do you live for your own benefit? Or do you live for the benefit of others? It's a good question, isn't it? And what if you're the one you're kinging, the one you're ruling over, what if they've done something wrong? Now what do you do as a king if you're only living for their benefit? Let's imagine for a moment that the people were wicked and a good king rose up. Should he then punish the wicked? You know, they're wicked. But being a king who lives for the good of the people, whose only purpose is to benefit them, he might not destroy them, because then he wouldn't be a king. You can't be a king if there's no one to king. You couldn't be a king over a land if there was no people on the land. If you were all alone, you're not the king, because you have to have somebody to king. Do you all understand? A king is a ruler, and he's a ruler over someone. So if you're going to be king, you actually have to preserve your people and not destroy them. So let's imagine that there were a people that were wicked, that had gone against the rule, had gone against righteousness and holiness, and God sent a king to lord over them. And the king, instead of joining the people in their wickedness, determined rather to preserve them. And then what's he going to do? How will he preserve them? Because they're wicked. You know, wicked people will destroy themselves as well as others. The wicked people will destroy themselves as well as others. Because the way you view God is the way you view yourself, is the way you view others. In other words, if you think God is mean, then you'll be mean to yourself and you'll be mean to others. If you think God is loving toward you, then you'll be loving toward yourself, whom he loves, and you'll be loving toward others. Does that all make sense? So, when Jesus came to town, everyone was expecting him, everyone, to be the king. Even the little kids ran out in the street, and Hosanna to the Son of David. They thought, oh, King David, this is his boy, this is his son. Hallelujah, after all these years of being oppressed by the Romans and the Greeks and the Persians and the Babylonians, we're going to be set free. Glory. It was a pretty exciting day. Palm Sunday, the day today that we're celebrating traditionally, that day, long time ago. Don't worry about whether it really is the day or not, but just this is the traditional day for the church. And so Jesus came into town, and he came late. Actually, it was at Sunday night instead of Sunday morning. We do it on Sunday morning because that's the way we do it. But truly, it was at Sunday night. It was at evening. And so when he came in Sunday evening at nightfall, just as the day was ending and the new day was about to begin, exactly at that moment, he just comes. How many know Jesus comes just right on time? And he came to town, and the Jewish leaders, I always picture them standing up on the wall, and they see all the people running out, and they hear them, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they, what's going on? I don't know. And so they run to the balcony, so to speak, up on the wall of Jerusalem, and they can see the whole world going after Jesus. I mean, it's a sad moment for them, because if you're a politician, or if you're a religious ruler, you hate the fact that somebody else is coming in and taking your toys away. You know, it's awful because you've got all your corruption and stuff in place, and you don't want to lose all your people. Amen? You know, you got everything in order. You don't want someone to come in and put it under them. You worked hard for that, and you know, you're trying to control everything. We're all controllers. So the Jewish leaders, when they got upstairs and they looked down over and they saw the whole world was going after this Jesus guy, and he's coming down over Gethsemane. You were there, Linda. Remember that? We walked down Gethsemane, and people were throwing branches in the way, and Jesus was riding not too impressive. A Roman would have been on a white horse. I mean, if I were the king, I wouldn't be riding on a donkey. That's kind of humble. But the script read that. You all know that Jesus did that because it was written in the script. There, everything Jesus ever did was scripted. Everything you do is scripted. Are you aware of that? For example, let's say you wanted to have a day where you're going to be sad. It's already scripted that you have to be happy every day. It's scripted. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It's scripted. So you don't really get to be sad any days. You never get to be sad. Isn't that sad? That you can never be sad? You have to be happy all the time. And that's miserable. Being happy all the time is actually pretty oppressive. Because there's days when you want to be unhappy. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, I mean, it's just right. It just seems right to be unhappy and mad and so on and so forth. And but it's scripted that you rejoice always. I didn't script it. Somebody else scripted it. So Jesus always did whatever the script said, as it is written. Whatever's written, he always did it. That it showed that Jesus wasn't in his position as eternal God, but he was in his position as the one that was sent into an office to be the king. And so as soon as you become an office holder, like king, you look and see what the office is charged with. You know, if I'm going to be king of England, for example, I have to be a Protestant. See, when you're going to be king of England, you have to check that out. Gee, what if I wanted to be a Roman Catholic? Well, you can't be king of England. And by the way, they've tried to change that You know, and in fact, King Charles, hoping he will someday be king, if mom will ever keel over, which she won't. She's not keeling. She's queen. You know, she won't abdicate. She won't give up. She won't quit the throne. Good grief, let the boy do it. He's a good boy. How many know King Charles is a good boy? You know, and, you know, he's no doubt really anxious about that, but, you know, I'm sure the poison hasn't worked and whatever else, you know, to get the king job. There's even books written on that, you know, how, at any rate, when you're a king, you want to take your rule, but he's just a prince now, Prince Charles, not a king yet. He's kind of a king in waiting. But, you know, mom may live forever and he may die before she dies. And it looks like it. I mean, she must be eating well or something. She's doing something right. She must have a good PR team because she's looking good. She's looking okay. I remember when she was, I remember the day she was inaugurated. You remember that, Lou? And, you know, it was a long time ago. She was a young girl. But I remember it. And it was a big deal. It's a big, big coronation thing. Well, anyway, Jesus came into town to be coronated. But he surprised everybody because he was a true king. He wasn't a tyrant. He didn't come in as a tyrant to be coronated. But anyway, the Jews thought as they looked out, good grief, saith they. Good grief. The whole world's going after him. You ever see that where the popular opinion just suddenly shifts? You know, first it's the Republicans, then it's the Democrats, you know, then it's Ross Perot, and you know, it's just shifting all the time, and now you got a whole slew of would-be kings, and you know they're all trying to get to the top post there. Well, the thing about God is He does everything in order. Now I'm saying all this not to tell you the story, although I'm going to tell you the story. I have to. It's in the scripted, but because it's for you, this is for your benefit. You need a king. You need to have a king that's on your side. If God be for me, if God be for me, if, it's a condition. If God be for me, who can be against me? Wouldn't you like to have God before you? Well, it's scripted. He is. It's not really if. It's because God is for you. No one can be against you. Boy, that, Lou, that pleases me. That God is for me. You know, a lot of times people are not for me. I mean, sometimes people close to me even aren't for me. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just waiting for me to fall or something and then pick on me. A lot of people think I'm arrogant or, you know, cocky or confident or whatever. Thank God none of you do. I'm here among friends. You all like me, don't you? So, you know, but a lot of times people feel, yeah, I hope he gets it, because he's so confident and puts it all out there and so on and so forth. We're just a teeny-weeny group, you know, we're not that impressive. But still, I'm totally happy. I mean, 100%. I mean, 110, 150%. I mean, I'm just happy all the time. Why? Because I think my king, whom I have one, he likes me. It used to be me. I used to try to be king myself. Has anybody ever had one of those where you sat on the throne yourself and ruled everything? Of course, it's short-lived. Because pretty soon you figure out there ain't any troops that I'm ruling over. So you get a pet or something, you know. Because I had a dog when I was growing up, Bingo. And he was always obedient to me. Always wagged his tail when I came in. I felt like I was a real king right there. Bingo liked me always, you know. Jump on you. You know, he was a collie, German shepherd, half and half thing. He was great. He was great. He was just the perfect dog. I could do anything with him. He loved me. But anyway, who are you king over? Anyway, Jesus is king. So he's coming to town to be king, and they're going to call him Hail. You know, like Hail Caesar. So they're gonna say Hosanna. You know, singing to Jesus because he's the son of David. He's like a king. No, he is a king. He's coming to be a king. What they didn't realize was that wasn't in the order. The order is, in order to be a king, you have to do it the way it's scripted. The first thing about a king is he has to be holy. He has to be holy. Right? The king of Israel, the king of God's people, would have to be a holy God with a holy law, with a holy land, with a holy people, with a holy king. You know, and God would be that king. So Jesus was coming to fulfill that script. So a king is one who gets things done. A savior saves you, but kings lord you. They get things done. Okay, so a politician is a doer, not a thinker, not a believer. You know, you hope they are. You hope they have some kind of principles or whatever, but they often don't. They're often the only principle was me. You know, me first. And they can easily be bribed. But every once in a while you'll find a politician who doesn't want to be bribed. He actually wants to help the people. He's actually for the people. He has principles and he won't vary on them. Of course, they all say that when they're running. But very few turn out to be really for the people, of the people, by the people, 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 people. You know, very few of them seem to be that way. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? I mean, the governor just said, you know, a couple of years ago when he got reelected, I'm for the people. I mean, I've really rethought this and I'm going for the people. But that was just because he was going to get elected again. And as soon as he got in, he starts doing all kinds of stupid things that the people said they don't want it. It just blew him off and ignored him. I don't know why a bribe in the pocket is bigger than the people. If I were a king, I wouldn't take a bribe. I can't imagine why anyone would do that. Because that's self-enrichment. That's taking care of myself and neglecting my office, the charge. See, that office isn't mine. It belongs to God. Did you know that? That God owns the office of king? Remember when Israel was trying to be like other nations, they said, we want to have a king too. Everybody has one but us. Couldn't we be like them? It sure save us a lot of... We want one. And God said, no, you have me as your king. Yeah. But you're so holy. You know, God just... And God would keep spanking them because he was their king, and he would keep spanking them to get them in line. And they just got tired of that. They wanted to have a king where they could do a little bit of sinning. How many know that it's better to have a pastor who allows you to do a little sin? Because you can't be too tight on people because they tend to be selfish and nasty sometimes. So you don't want to be too tight, right? I mean, there are rules, yes, but they're kind of, you just aim at them. So you got to, like, do the best you can. But what if you had a pastor who really insisted that you literally take the Bible literally? Literally. That would be oppressive. Well, pastor, we know that's what it says, but interpret it in my favor. I mean, make it go so that I get the benefit. So sometimes, I don't need to go into all that. You all understand if you're following me so far? So a leader, a ruler, is always a trustee on behalf of someone for someone else's benefit. So when Jesus came into town, he read the script. I have to be the king, and here, I got to check out the people, see how they are. Okay, the people are sinning. Ooh. According to the office, if you sin, according to the script, if you sin, you have to be punished. You have to be cut off. You can sin, but you have to say you're sorry right away. Otherwise, you'll be cut off. You can't persist in it. You can't continue in it. How many here have sinned? How many have sinned? Okay. How many are continuing? No, don't raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. I'm not, because I don't want to embarrass you. But when you sin, it's okay. It's okay. There's provision for that. It's scripted. It's provision. Is you can call on God for mercy. So the holiness says, be perfect. But if you're not, you get to go and get some mercy. So first of all, you know, here's holiness telling me, be perfect. I can't do that. Okay, so I can come over here and get some mercy. So I got mercy. But what I really need is not just holiness telling me what to do and mercy forgiving me for not doing it, but I really need power to help me to do what I was supposed to do. That's a king. A king is not someone who tells you to be holy. A king is not someone who tells you that there's mercy for you if you're not. A king is someone who waits upon the holiness to convict, waits upon the mercy to forgive, and then the king executes, takes a sword, and does the will of the sovereign. Now, every earthly king is under a sovereign called the heavenly king. Every earthly king, every earthly politician, every earthly ruler, every pastor, every father, every mother, every wife, those are all offices that God has set up. How many have one of those offices? You're either a child or a father or a mother or some kind of office that God set up. You have to do whatever's in the script. So as husband, I have one script. As pastor, I have another script. As child of God, I have another script. As, you know, so I have a whole bunch of offices. Got to always figure out, what am I supposed to be doing here, and so on and so forth. But it's all scripted, and Jesus knew that the script was, he wasn't a Moses that told you to be holy. He wasn't a Aaron that forgave you if you weren't. He was a king that had to fulfill what Moses declared was necessary, and Aaron forgave, so that now he could transform the people and make them holy, force them to be holy. He got a sword. You're going to be holy. Remember when King David was king? Everybody had to do it the way David said, because he was king. He had power, didn't he? And he could cut you off. He could have someone killed. Powerful. So kings are the doers of that which the prophet declared and the priest forgave. So the prophet, the priest, the king, and the greatest of them is the king. Jesus did not come into the world to be another prophet. Moses had already done that job. I'm going to give any new laws. A new commandment I give unto you. But listen carefully. The new commandment was not like the 11th commandment. The new commandment was do. The new commandment was the positive side of the law, because the king takes the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. Moses only declared the letter. Don't injure your neighbor. Don't injure your neighbor. But listen to Jesus. Love your neighbor. It's different. One's negative, one's positive. Laws do not say, bake a cake for everybody in the neighborhood, drive up and down the street, and give it to them. Laws simply say, don't kill your neighbor. Don't injure them. So they don't stop you. The policeman doesn't pull you over and say, you didn't bake a cake for everybody. Have you noticed that? They don't do that. They don't say, you didn't love everybody. They don't even care about love. Law doesn't even talk about that. It just says, don't do wrong. Do you see how laws work? So Moses is a negative guy. He's just a servant in the house. Not the greatest office at all. So Israel today exalts Moses. And it's good. Moses is a good guy. But Moses said, there's somebody greater than me coming. Listen to him. Did you know that? That Moses was pointing not at himself as being the great guy, but he was pointing at someone else that God would raise up in another office. Another prophet, a higher prophet than he was. Another priest, a higher priest than Aaron was. Jesus didn't come after the priesthood of Aaron. He was after the priesthood of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a Hebrew word. Melka means king. Melech. And tzadik, it means righteous. So Melchizedek means a righteous king. That means a priest who is a king. In other words, before you can be a king, you got to be a savior. You got to be righteous. You got to be right with God. So righteousness is holiness. But the kind of righteousness we have is the holiness that tells you what to do, and then the mercy that forgives you for not doing it, that's righteousness too. You want to be right with God through the law, or you want to be right to God through the grace, through the mercy? They're both righteous. This one is how to do it if you were the one doing it. This one is in case you didn't do it, but Jesus did it for you and you believed in him. So this is the righteousness of the law. This is the righteousness that comes by faith. You see that? They're both righteous. So a king would be someone who declares the true righteousness and lives it himself, and then who forgives his people who were not righteous, and then he becomes their righteousness, and then he executes the two. So that what was demanded here and forgiven here is actually accomplished, finished. so that you become righteous truly, not just by faith, but faith active in love. You become a lover, or you become Christ-like, or you become just like the king, or you become his wife. That would be great if we could be the queen of the king. So it'd really be great if you were in a kingdom, but the king happened to be your husband. That would be good. How many wives know you can manipulate your husband into, you know, getting things done on your behalf? And many a queen has said to her husband, who is the, you know, the big shot, "Sweetheart, this is not what the people need. They need this." You know, whatever. And she influenced him. How many know that's a pretty powerful spot right there? So she wanted to make sure, because he told her these words, "I love you." Well, in other words, is your kingdom, husband, going to be on my behalf or yours? You have a new marriage. Everything you do is to bless and benefit her. Amen? No. Actually, truly. Because God's with you. And when you don't do the law like you're supposed to, then you run over here and God forgives you, but then the Holy Spirit fills you so you can go back and do what you were supposed to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you don't do what the law says, you have to repent, and then you run over here and get mercy, and then you get the Holy Spirit after you get mercy, and the Holy Spirit helps you to do what you were supposed to do in the first place, only you couldn't do it, but he did it in you and through you and so on. Right? Does that make sense? So now, I need all three. I need the prophet, I need the priest, I need the king. Jesus came into town on Palm Sunday to be the king. Now, the king is the greatest of all because he takes what the prophet declared, and no one did, and then he adds to that his own work as Savior, dying on the cross. But when Jesus came into town, he hadn't died on the cross yet. So there can't be any mercy, because no longer would the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and whatever, dove, no longer was the blood of an animal to be a sacrifice. Jesus himself was the sacrifice. So the king proved that he was a good king by not only keeping the law, but keeping it to such an extent that he would then give you all the benefits of it and be your righteousness. So in other words, he kept the law for you. He didn't even keep it for himself. How many know that Jesus didn't even keep the law for himself? He kept it for you. Just like whatever I do, it's for Peggy. It's for you. If I'm a true king, a true pastor, a true husband, a true leader, is I'm not just going to declare what's right, but I have to do it. And then I have to forgive her for not doing it. Right? Because you know how wicked Peggy is. How many are aware of how wicked she is? No, she's just wicked. That's what it says in the script. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How far short do you think she was? You think I'm further? A lot of you think I'm worse than she is. I don't know where you get that idea. we're equally matched. I'm telling you, I am no more wicked. I'm glad she's not here, because I can just speak freely here. But I am as wicked as she is, and she's as wicked as I am. I love it. Do you want her to preach someday so you could get her to tell you how wicked she is? Because she is. She fools. I think she fools just about everybody in this church. See, this is what fools everybody in this church, except me. I live with her. And you know, she will admit things, not to you, because she's trying to look good for you, but she'll admit to me, you know, that she's a wicked woman. And I love that when she does that. I like her to do it quite a bit. Well, you know. So you see, the king, in this case, Jesus, who comes into town, he was actually perfect. But how many know that doesn't help a thing that he was perfect? But he said, no, I'm perfect for you. I'm doing it for you. I'm keeping the law for you, and I'm going to give you the free benefit of that, the gift of that. Oh, wow. That's Savior, but Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. Palm Sunday, it's going to be Thursday night, which is our setter this week, Thursday night before he drinks the cup and says, "I call you friends," meaning I'll lay down my life for you. What do you owe? Well, we've sinned, so I guess we have to die. I'll take it. That same day, which is Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock, he perishes. He's dead. That same day, he drank the cup at night, and within that same day, because the Jewish day begins in the evening of the day before and ends up in the evening of the day after. So really, Thursday and Friday are one day in the Jewish thing. You all understand that little, it's confusing to an Englishman. I wish King James had been English. He was. King James was English, but it doesn't help. Because it doesn't explain this Jewish idea that the evening, you remember how God created the world? There was evening and morning one day. See, that's the way God thinks. He's weird. He's like Jewish. God's like Jewish. I wish he was English, Irish, you know. I wish he thought like we do, but he doesn't. He has a crazy idea. So when Jesus on Thursday night drank the cup, that was actually Friday. So this is the day the Lord hath made, the day I'm talking about right now that began on Thursday evening, which is actually Friday. Because the evening and the morning is one day. So then that same day, this is the day, that same day, which we call Good Friday, was actually the same as Maundy Thursday. It's all one day in the Jewish calendar. You understand? The evening before called Thursday and the day called Friday is actually the same, one day. And so that's the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Anyway, so Jesus fulfilled the law, and he did it for us by dying on the cross. But he came into town on Sunday, today, now. So then 4 or 5 days later, he dies. And then 3 days later, he rises again. But nobody knew all this. Jesus was the only one that read the script and paid attention to it. Everybody else was kind of confused. Like, now is he the king or what? He's taken over. Let's kill the so-and-so. And so that's what the Jewish guys, when they were looking at this whole thing, they saw the kids, Hosanna to the Son of David. Wow, everybody's going after Jesus. Oh, my gosh, we're losing our lunch program. Well, you know, we're not even going to have a retirement program. And so the Jewish people thought they were going out of business. We got to kill this guy. This guy, he's just got to be killed. Because he's taking off. Look at, everybody's going after him. And they just saw the people streaming out of Jerusalem. And there were a couple million people. When those festivals take place, Jews come from all over the world. There's only 3 festivals in the year, and this was the first one. And so the Jews were just streaming out. And so the leaders looked out and, uh-oh, folks, this guy we've been against, he's winning. He's got the whole world in his hands. The whole world's running out to him. Even the little kids, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, and then everybody heard that and realized, uh-oh, it's curtains. Up, finished, over with, kaput. And they were depressed. And they had to think of something. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know. Kill the guy, I guess. It was great. The high priest actually prophesied. You fools, don't you know it's expedient that one man needs to die for the people? Wouldn't it be better for one guy to die than the Romans to come and take over? If this Jesus guy becomes the king of Israel or something, we're out of business, first of all. And the Romans are going to come, and they're not going to like this new guy because we're the ones that bribe them. I mean, we've already got all of our bribery systems in place. Let's not have this Jesus guy take over. That's one reason why people tried to oppose me. It's kind of funny. In Texas politics, because I can't be bribed. Hello. I'm going to do for the people every time. So that means I'm going to go against the governor that I helped to elect. That means I'm going to go against everybody. See, I like that. So you want to kill me. They tried to prevent me from winning. Isn't that funny? How can you prevent a guy from winning who's good? A good guy like me. Y'all don't see the humor of this. And so, you know, they put the machine in place. I mean, they got millions and millions, I mean, literally millions of dollars to defeat little nobodies like myself. How come I won? And how come we defeated the richest man who's done everything in the state of Texas? How come Peggy defeated him almost single-handedly? My wife. Just sitting at home on her computer, controlling the whole world. You know, she's sitting there, you know, she's talking to everybody and so on. I mean, I'm telling you, just you don't know her at all. She's like a bulldog. She just gets on your leg and she won't let go. It's like, get off. You know, and Dick Armey found out, you know, she just goes right up to him and says, you know, your law is not good. You know, he's just startled by her. He said, what are you talking about? She said, because it's got all these regulations. It doesn't have any regulations. She said, yes, it does. You haven't even read your own bill. You don't even know what it is. And Peggy just chews him up like that. She has no fear. Peg, that's Dick Army. She doesn't care. I love it. Don't you love it? She's fearless. You don't know her. She looks real sweet and nice and so on. She's actually like a fierce bulldog. And I tell you, when she walks in, people just, whoa, what is she going to say and do? Well, she's been against something for years, 15 or more years. And they just took a vote the other day, and Peggy won. The governor, lieutenant governor, everybody lost. Everybody. They all lost, and she won. She's defeated George Bush's taxes. She's defeated, you know, so-and-so, such-and-such. And they got all the money in the world. This guy has spent, $50 million. Can you imagine somebody spending that much money for what he believes in? And giving out that many, and I've seen the checks. See, I've actually seen with my own eyes the checks. That's one of the things I always do. I always snoop around into the books. You learn a lot. Why did this guy get $500 and why did this guy get $120,000? That's a difference. Do you see the difference between $500 and $120,000? So who made that decision? I mean, I'm one of the elected officials. Did you know I represent half of Fort Worth? Tarrant County, which is, you know, powerful county. I represent that whole county. They all elected me. So I go and snoop. And I stand up and oppose. And just 2 weeks ago, I was down in Austin for 3 days talking to all the legislatures and everybody. David Dewhurst is a really good friend of mine. Totally good friend. And, you know, we're all talking and discussing and so on. And the Secretary of State, Roger Williams, super good friend. Just these are people that I've known. And I helped to elect them over the last 25 years. I helped to, you know. Now, if they go wrong, I'll rebuke them. So now we're winning. They just don't understand it. How do I get reelected all the time? You see, the religious right has dominated Republican politics. But now their days are waning. I'm not part of the religious right, even though I'm religious and even though I'm right. I'm not part of the religious right. I don't buy that. I'm not an incrementalist. You know, let's sacrifice and compromise and get a little bit. Then we'll try to get a little bit more. It sounds nice in theory, but logically speaking, it doesn't work. You can't compromise yourself to truth. You can't, by compromising a little and a little and a little, get to truth. That's Zeno's paradox. If I go halfway to the wall, y'all know philosophy. If I take a step and I go halfway to the wall, I want to go from this wall to that wall. Now, my first step will be halfway. Of course, I can't make that big a jump, but here I am. So that was my first step. And my next step will be half of that. So then I get to here. See, I've just two steps. I'm already three-fourths of the way there. So it looks like I'm going to get to the wall. But you can never get there. Because of the way you're going, you can only go halfway each time. I'm getting closer. But soon I get closer, but my steps get smaller and smaller and smaller, and I can never get there. So you can't incrementally ever get to where you're going. I know you didn't understand that, but it's all right. It's a famous syllogism. It's a famous, you know, perplexity, a conundrum. It's something in Western society that everybody knows about, Zeno's paradox. You can never go halfway there and ever get there. So anything that's done halfway isn't going to make it. Even though it looks like, well, gee, one step and he's halfway there, the other step he's three-fourths of the way there, and the other step and so on. You never get there. Because when you get to that last inch and your nose is almost there, you still can't get there because you can only go half. Do you all understand? So I don't believe in incrementalism. That is the doctrine, the teaching right now. Well, you can't get everything, but get what you can get. Yeah, that'd be great if you actually had a high principle. But I indict my fellow Republicans and I say, you guys never intended to get there in the first place. And the way you're going about it, you'll never get there. How can you take bribes along the way and then get there? I don't ever take bribes. I don't want any bribes. I'm always free. I'm always free to lose. I don't mind losing. I'd rather be right and then lose than to win and be wrong. Did y'all hear what I just said? So that Jesus was like that. He just insisted on being perfect. I mean, you're not going to get anywhere because you have to compromise your way. Everybody knows that. But Jesus didn't believe that. And I don't believe it either. I don't believe that I should be as good a husband as I can possibly be. I think I have to be a perfect husband. I've read the script. And I believe that if I'm not perfect, I have to say I'm sorry to her. She said she was sorry this morning before I came here. She came in and yelled at me because I'd lost the check because something or other. And then, you know, so I said, no, honey, there's no way. I'm not vindicating myself. I'm just explaining what actually happened. So I said, no. I put all the papers the other night when we had Tom and Melissa Murray over. I put all the papers in one of the rooms, and I know right where it is. So I went there and I handed it to her. She quickly looked through it and said, it's not here. Then she started yelling at me. But being a good Christian, I didn't yell back. I just went, well, just tell me what it's like and see if I can find it for you. Because everything that I took from the piano bench is here. This is it. Right here. I put it all right here. So you see how pure I was? So then later, she came back and she said, here it is. Oh, great. You found it? Yep. It's on the refrigerator. And then I was going to go out. And, you know, that's fine. Praise the Lord. I wasn't like told you so or any of that kind of stuff. You know, just yeah, fine. But she came up to me and blocked me so I couldn't get out. Peg, what are you doing? I did wrong, she said in her nasty tone. I did wrong. Oh, well, praise the Lord. That's okay. She said, no, I shouldn't have yelled at you. I know, but you did. But it's okay. I'm merciful. No problem. Do you see how kind I am? Do y'all wish you were married to me? I don't know why I'm not very convincing. I don't know why. I thought it was great. It's always great when people say, let's do it perfectly, and Peg's a perfectionist. Let's do it perfectly, and when you don't, you got to say you're sorry. Amen? Woo-hoo! You also get it? Because every day in the world, everybody's compromising all over the place. Oh, yeah, God said it, but he doesn't mean it. I mean, after all, we're human. So I was angry the other day. What's that? I was justified, I think. No, you're never justified. The righteousness of God can't be worked by anger. The means, you can't use means that are justified by the end. You got to have means that are in accord with the end. So Jesus, when he came into town, they hailed him as king, but he knew he couldn't be king till he first of all proved that he was righteous. And he couldn't be righteous if the people he was going to benefit were killed and destroyed. So he decided he would take it himself. No, don't kill them, kill me. So he was good, even to the point of death on the cross, so that he made full satisfaction for the people, so now the people would be free, and then he was dead. Isn't that beautiful? But God vindicated him. And then he became king when he rose from the dead a week later. Next week will be Resurrection Sunday. I don't call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Sunday because that's what happened. So let's call it Resurrection Sunday. Say it, Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection. Don't say Easter. God's a start. That's the goddess of, you know, something or other. You know, you don't want to say that. It's not Easter. It's not in the Bible. There's no word Easter in the Bible. That would be a pagan goddess. No, it says resurrection. That was the day he was written. Called it the Lord's Day. That's what we call it, the Lord's Day. We don't meet on the Sabbath. That's a Jewish idea for Friday night, Saturday. This is not a Sabbath. You can call it a Sabbath, but capital S, Jewish day is Sabbath. That's the seventh day. Sabbath means seventh. So the truth is that we celebrate today without any law. Nobody makes us celebrate on Sunday. We don't have a law. The Roman Catholic Church made a law, but there is no law. You can't even have a law. We do everything voluntarily. We do everything by the Holy Spirit, not by the law of Moses. We don't want a new law of Moses. Jesus ended the law by fulfilling it, not by throwing it away. He didn't destroy it. He fulfilled it. He didn't destroy it. The law destroyed him. And then the spirit of it, what happened? He gave everything that he did for you, came under the law. Now you're not under the law because he did it for you. Now it's finished. Now, as a king, he rose up from the dead and said, now I'm king. So you see, this is not just theology or something. I live this. I believe this. I'm not doing it to get paid or because we have a big church or something or people like me or people understand me. I don't even think people understand me. And I don't really care. You say, well, Pastor, if you could explain it in a way we could understand. I don't have that. I just do what Jesus tells me to do and I do it. And I don't care if I'm sloppy or smart or clever or stupid or whatever. I don't even care. I just do what Jesus tells me. Now, if he picked the wrong guy to do it, well, too bad for Jesus. But I think he picked the right guy, me. I don't know. I think he picked a good guy. Why? Because I don't care. I don't have an ego. I don't have any stake in it. I don't care if I'm paid or not. I got Social Security. You think that's funny? I don't care. Never have. Why? I'm dead. When you're a dead man, that's actually maturity. You don't get better. You just learn to die quicker. Stop running and ruining your marriage. Stop running and ruining, you know, everything. Just let go. Let go. Relax. Somebody says, well, you're sinful and imperfect. Duh. Of course. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I know under the law I'm not going to make it. So I don't even bother with the law because I know I can't keep it. I let Jesus be the law keeper. Jesus, you do it. You do it. You do it. Thank you. And then he does it for me. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for me. I'm taking it personally now. I believe Jesus loves me, Dennis. I believe he loves me. I believe he loves you personally. That's too powerful. Isn't that powerful? I need that. I'm such a muck up, a mess up, that I can't live under the law thing. You know. And thank God Peggy's beginning to get it. This took her 34 years to get it, but she's getting it. We've been married 34 years, and we dated for 5. Okay? So we've known each other a long time. And we like each other better and better as the days go by. How's that? Well, because we started out rotten. You don't think that's funny? But anyway, we didn't start out that hot, you know, because now she had illusions that I was going to take care of her or something like that, and that was an illusion. But she got over that fairly quickly. You don't see the fun of this. You don't see it. Come on. This is for real people. Nobody can keep the law. Nobody. Nobody. Y'all understand? Stop it. Stop judging people. Judge yourself. You want to get on somebody? Get yourself and get that over with right away. You're not perfect. You're not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. He's the only one that can keep the law. God wrote it. Who did he write it for? His boy. That's a law for Jesus. I'm made out of dirt, dust, clay. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. When he became a man, he was, you remember? The Holy Spirit was there, even from the womb. You remember that? Jesus was filled with the Spirit. That's different than me. I had a different spirit. I mean, I had a human spirit, you know. A me, me, me kind of spirit. When I came out of the womb, you know, I was like, you know, take care of me, everybody. Here I am, world. Isn't that something? That's why my mom tried to abort me, get rid of me, kill me, you know. And all the way through life, you know, things go against you. Everybody notice that there's resistance out there? Anybody notice that there's resistance to everything you touch? Anything you try to do, there's resistance. Does anybody notice that? It makes you tempted to go the easy way. And thank God I did. I went the easy way. Well, if you can't keep the law, fool you on it. You know, I'll just go and sin. And so I did. But I'll tell you what, I found out that doesn't make happy people. Sinning doesn't make you happy. But I did it anyway. I did it anyway. I was selfish and nasty anyway. You're all like me. I mean, I'm just saying it. Put it on me because if I put it on you, you'll defend yourself. So put it on me, and you can attack me easily. See how nice I am? Thank God for a good pastor. Look, Jesus took all your guilt, put it on himself. Put it on himself. He kept the law. He didn't have to die. He couldn't die. But even though he couldn't, he did because of love. He said, even though under the law, I don't have to die because I haven't done anything wrong. I want to out of love because I want to do it for them. I'm going to keep the law for their sake. Boy, that is a king. That's the kind of king you want. Then he, as Savior, died on the cross this coming Thursday night, Friday. And then as 3 days later, third day, rose from the dead, became king. Prophet, priest, king. He did all three. Did everything Moses said, kept the law perfectly, never sinned one time. Even told his accusers, show me one sin I've ever done. Well, you know, you blaspheme God. How can I blaspheme God? Because I said I am the Son of God and I always do what's pleasing to him? I'm not lying. You would be lying, but I'm not. I'm speaking the truth. You know what was beautiful about Jesus was he had you in mind. He had you personally in mind, not in kind of in general, a big glob of people. You know, I love all mankind. You know, Jesus loved Chad. He loved Sally. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that means something to me. That the God of the universe who created everything, who's all wise, all powerful, all good, all great, all everything. He likes me as my buddy. He just comes up, hey, Jim, what do you want to do today? Let's do it together. I so much love you. Well, that's a good father. That's a good, I like having him. And when I mess up, Jim, you just messed up. That's his law speaking to me. Oh, sorry. That's okay, I forgive you. That's his mercy speaking to me. I just can't help myself. Then he says, it's okay, I'm with you. Keep looking at me. Just stay with me here. I'll empower you. I'll guide you. I'll favor you. Now, he convicts me, he forgives me, he empowers me, he leads me, he guides me, he prospers me, and he's going to make sure that when it's all over, I'll be just like him. Then I'll be his wife. As soon as I'm just like him, I got to be mature. You know, you don't want to marry a four-year-old. You want to marry somebody that's mature. Amen? So the bride hath made herself ready. I don't know who's in the bride. I don't know if all of you are in the bride or not. I'm going to have you raise your hand in a minute. But I'm in. I'm definitely in. I'm in. You know why I'm in? Because I'm so desperate. I know I can't keep the law, and I know he's forgiven me, and I know I need his help. I know I can't keep his law. I know he's forgiven me, and therefore I know he tells me I'm righteous. He tells me I'm beautiful. And now I'm actually looking like what I believe in. What I believe is now actually actively working out because Jesus is with me. His blood forgave me, but his spirit enables me. His blood forgave me, but his spirit is transforming me day by day. I told you I'm not improving. I'm just dying quicker. See, I used to be so full of myself. I was, you know, poor in spirit. No, I was rich in spirit. I was full of spirit, full of me. I was preserving me, protecting me, prospering me. You know, that was me. Is anybody else like that? One or two? Okay, one. All right. Two. Thank you. I knew I had one or two. Bill, you two, three, four. Praise God, five, six, seven. Pretty soon I'll get the whole group, so we'll just slow down there. But I can't do this perfect thing. Only Jesus can. That was the whole point. The only reason he ever gave the law was not to condemn me. The only reason he gave the law was so that I'd admit I couldn't do it. And I'd have to beg for mercy. God, is there any hope now? Sure, I'll forgive you. I'll take it. So I was right away, cling right to the cross. Give it to me. Because of my blood, when I die, then you'll be forgiven. Get quick and die. Hurry, get that thing going. So Jesus came in to be the king, but he knew he couldn't be king until he was Savior, and he couldn't be Savior until he was righteous. And righteous means love you. Righteous means do what his father wanted, which is to have a holy people and to make sure that you were blessed and benefited because God is good. Because God is good. Because God is good. Because God is good. Because God is good, you will be good. Because God is good, you will be good. As I am holy, you shall be holy. That could be a command, but it also could be a promise. It is. Because I'm holy, you shall be holy. Because I'm holy. And as I'm going to make you holy, you are not by nature holy. And you're not even going to get there. You're under Zeno's paradox. You're never going to get there. But I'll just give it to you. I'll just go and be holy for you. I'll just give you a free gift. You don't even have to walk across the stage. How many of us are trying to walk across and being holy, and we just get this far and fall down? Just not able to make it. You can't get over there to the perfect. You know, well, I did the best I could. Well, that's not good enough. Perfect is the goal. Perfect is perfect. I mean, that's all there's to it. So God says, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. I can't. In fact, I'm so stuck to this wall over here, I can't even get off the wall. But I imagine myself getting off the wall, but I'm actually still over here. God, I just can't. Said Jim, I know that. Well, I know, but I just thought I'd say that. It doesn't help anything. So I admit I can't be perfect. I'm not Jesus. And so he says, okay, Jesus is Jesus. And he likes you, Jim. So he's just going to come over. And so Jesus came all the way from that wall over to here and picked me off the wall. He said, come on with me. So he not only forgave me, but then he gave me his own Holy Spirit. He said, Jim, come on, you and I can do it together. I'll be in you to will and to do. I'll do it all. I'll die for you, then I'll live for you, then I'll live in you, I'll live through you, I'll live for you, I'll do everything for you. I love you. Boy, love is neat. Do y'all see this? That's a king. That is a king who knows what his script is. That the whole reason you're in office is to benefit the people for whom God appointed to be benefited. A husband is to love his wife and not love himself. Because if he loves himself, he's joined to his wife and the two have become one, that means to take care of me is to take care of her. To take care of her is to take care of me. We're the same. I would have cut her off as, hey, you're not helping me out. I did say that. Peg, you're not a lousy helpmate. I need a helpmate, not a critic. You seem to be a critic. You seem to be a critic all the time. You know, I couldn't even go out in the world and get beat up because Peg had beat me up before I even got out the door. Then I'd come home and say, Peg, they beat me up. Well, good, they deserved it. You know, she'd just be right on my case. Isn't that awful? I told you she was bad because she's not here to defend herself. Isn't that great? Y'all see it? Oh, do you want me to talk about my sin? My sins are so obvious. I've never been a good hider of sin. A lot of you are better hiders than I am. I've always been openly rotten. Amen? I mean, I you know, when I met Jesus, right away I knew, Jesus, I need your help. I haven't done any of the laws. I need big time your Savior part. Could we just skip this law thing with Moses? He's too fierce. Could we just go over here where you love me? Let's just talk about that part. I just, you know, there was like, there's no contest over here. Jim, you have failed. Yes, sir. And you seem to be even smart alecky about my telling you that. Yes, sir. Yeah. You don't seem to have the right gravitas. You know, you don't seem to be serious about this thing. No, sir. Jim, you are hopeless. Yes, sir. When are you ever going to get it? I'm not. You know, there's no hope. There's a guy like me is unteachable, unlearnable. You know, the only thing you can do with me is kill me. So Jesus said, look, I can't even help you because you're helpless. You're hopeless. There's no hope. Uh-uh. Jesus could never say that. You know why? The Father loves me. So even though I'm pitiful, the Father loves me. And he said, Jesus, you die for Jim. Jim, he's a worthless person. I know, but I love him so much. I made him. I just like him. Jesus, okay, Father, but I don't think he's the kind that'll get anywhere. That's okay. I want you to offer it to him anyway. Just might take it. Matter of fact, he will. I know, Jim. He's going to take it because he's selfish. He always thinks of himself. So he'll take it. A lot of you are so wonderful. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be sincere about it. Well, I was never sincere. I've never had a sincere moment in my life. So if you get into heaven by sincerity, I'm out. But I didn't get in by my sincerity. I got in by his. It's because he loved me. He first loved me. Because of that, look, because of that, Moses, I'm not afraid of him anymore. And over here, Jesus, I love him. And then because I love Jesus, I get the Holy Spirit. And he helps me to do what Moses was trying to make me do, but now I want to do it easily because Jesus does it all for me and I just relax. Perfect peace. Because his thoughts toward you are always thoughts of? His thoughts toward you are always thoughts of? You know, they're always thoughts of peace toward you. You, not you glob. You individually. You personally. I love it. God, do you really love me? Oh, Jim, I just wait for you to wake up so I can just be with you. Every morning, he's right there at the bedside. I don't know if he's at your bed or not, but he's always at my bedside. Jim, this could be the day. You and me, we'll just have fun, okay? Yahoo! I love it. Every day, the guy loves me. And all night long, he stays right at my bed. I don't know if he's in the China or I don't know where else he is. But I know he's at my bed singing over me. I love you, Jim. You know, and I love it. I just go to sleep, you know, and I'm not even paying attention to everything. And he's running the whole world, running the whole universe, and doing everything just for me. It's amazing. I guess he's on Peggy's side of the bed, too, but all I know is me. I have to take care of me first. I'm taking care of me first. I can't save her if she's drowning if I'm drowning myself. So I take care of me first, then I'm going to help her. You know, like in the airlines where the little things come down and it says, you know, put your mask on first, not the children. Even though you love the children, you put your mask on first so you can help the child. Do you understand that? Get some breath yourself. You can't help others if you don't even have yourself in line. How can you help if you're a doctor, get people well if you're sick? You just get them sick. It's like going to a hospital. That's where you get sick. Didn't you all notice that? You go to the hospital, and if you weren't sick when you went in, you will be sick. Because everybody's sick in there, and it just goes all over. And no matter how much they try to not have sick, they get a lot of sick. All kinds of staph diseases, all kinds of things that happen. And doctors who didn't pay attention to what they said, and nurses who didn't follow what was done, all kinds of things happen. More deaths, not through automobile, in hospitals than any other cause of death. Hospitals. That's where you go to die. You think you're going to get health, but you actually get sick. And it's a miracle that anybody gets out. What I'm saying is it's so phenomenal. You got to know who's the physician. It's Jesus. Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just going to tell you, I've never taken a pill in my life. I'm never going to, ever. I'd rather be sick. I'm not going to do it. What I do is simple stuff. I praise the Lord, drink some water, go lay down, and moan. That's me. That's me. Do you all understand? I'm not saying there aren't any good doctors. There are. I'm not saying there isn't any good medicine. There is. I'm just simply saying I just avoid it. Because I don't trust the ones that are not. There might be one out of 100. I don't want that one. And I'm not good enough to know. I'd probably get that one. You know, I'm not going to do it. So if you see me keel over, don't call emergency. Just kick me off to the side and move on. Say, well, praise the Lord. He was good while he was here. But now it's over. Isn't that the way to treat me? Boot me right over. Just move him over. See if you can keep this floor swept up. If you just see me falling down, don't worry about me. Jesus loves me. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about it. I'm telling you, I've never been a body watcher. Now, Peg will come around, you know, after a shower or something. Hey, look, what's this? And so, don't worry about it. This body will work until I'm dead. You know, it's fine. I'm not a big body watcher. Jim, look at this. What's this? I don't know. Something. Get me one of these days. I don't care. I don't care if I die. I'm already almost 67. I don't know how I made it this long. I'm amazed. You get 70, so I guess I got three more. I'm planning to go 115 at least. How will I make it? Well, I won't have any teeth and stuff like that, but I'm going to make it. You all understand? I'm not a fear person. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. One thing about me, I know I got a merry heart. I'm always happy. Always. 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 Even when everything goes against me. I like things going against me. I like it when things go against me. I expect it. I anticipate it. Because Jesus said so. It's scripted, right? Here's what he said. In the world you have trouble. How many don't want it? How many don't want trouble? I want trouble. That's the secret to the universe. Is every time you go to do something good, someone's going to be an enemy to you. Oppression. If it isn't the devil, if it isn't the world, then it's your own flesh. Something's going to come against you. It's not my wife. It's not my husband. It's not my children. It's not my neighbor. It's not my enemies. It's not the mafia. It's not, you know, some banker somewhere. It's nobody. I don't care who it is. There's just going to be resistance to everything you do. But you'll overcome it because you're an overcomer. Because Jesus can do it. Jesus is just going to give it to you. He's just saying, come on, Jim, we'll make it. So Jesus comes over, grabs my hand. He says, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'll lead you. And so Jesus leads me and guides me. He leads me and guides me. What's he do? What's he do? He's going to take me all the way. He said, Jim, just trust me. I'll get you there. He may be dragging me. He'll get me there. Jesus, I think I'm worn out. Just drag me. So Jesus, he's going to drag me over there. He'll carry me. He'll pick me up. Jim, I love you. He could carry me in his arms, underneath of the everlasting arms. Now, if you have my view, and I'm saying my view, anybody's view, it's just written down, that underneath of the everlasting arms, I don't think I can fail. I think I've already won. I think I won the day that Jesus died on the cross and came over and got me. He said, Jim, let me carry you over. By the time we get there on the way, I'll get you cleaned up. So Jesus is cleaning me up as he gets me over there. He gets me over here dirty as a skunk. And he says, hey, you stink. You are dirty. He's starting to scrub me as he's taking me over. He's scrubbing me up and, you know, he's getting me all cleaned up. And by the time we get there, I'm going to be perfect. And it'll just be in time for the wedding. And everyone's going to say, oh, she's so beautiful. It's beautiful. And then as Jesus comes down the road, you know, to get me, they're going to say, she's just like him. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Isn't that's what marriage is, isn't it? It's the bride and the groom coming together perfect. And people say, it's going to work because they're matched, perfectly matched, equal. They're equal. I'll be equal to Jesus in holiness as he was equal to me in weakness. See, he came to be a king, but instead of using his power, he said, no, it's not the time yet for my power. Caesar, don't sweat it. Don't lose any sleep over this. I'm not replacing you yet because I haven't got my bride done. After I get my bride safe, then I'll come back and I'll take your post. But right now, I got to get my bride over here. I got to get her all the way to this wall. I got to put my bride. Now when my bride is safe, I say, sit right here, get yourself ready. I'll be right back. Then Jesus will come back. He'll mop up everything. Just take care of everything. Time? Thanks. Praise God. Thanks. Another sin. Sorry. Well, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. 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 Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our example because you did it right. You did everything Moses said you're supposed to do. You are our Savior. You did that right too. And you are our King. And you're doing that right too. And you're doing everything. You're the holiness of God. You're the mercy of God. You're the power of God. You're the love of God. Because you love us and the Father loves us. The Father himself loves you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're just fulfilling what the Father always intended from the beginning of the world, to have a people set aside for himself, who though they were not holy, you have now made holy, first through faith and then through works, all of which you did in us, through us, for us, by us, so that we get all the blessing and you get all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. 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 We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. and make his face to shine upon you, to shower you with this big smile, to shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his peace, his peace, a peace that the world cannot give, that peace you can't find here, that peace that's deep within. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. I love you all. God is good. God is good. Yeah. Amen.